I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Dak, what the f***?
It's your two favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins podcast once again, hosted by your boy Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Here with me is my fellow lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt. Please throw him a follow on Twitter at Chief Sutt. Follow our podcast Twitter, Day Number One Dolphins. Stay up to date. Let's get down to it. What's going on, Sutt?
Not too much, bro. I'm happy to be on bye this week. This is well needed.
Yeah, I was thinking if the bye week had a higher winning percentage than 500, we might be in trouble.
Yeah, not in trouble for anything other than we see how much potential we have when we get healthy, and all the injuries we've had are just at really unfortunate positions that we just really need, and they happen at the worst times. So I think with us getting the A-train back, we can start putting back together the seven. We can really make a push for this this little end of the season. I'm excited.
You're always thinking ahead, man. You're always just ready to be silver lining, looking to the future.
I mean, dude, we were talking about Lester Cotton a couple weeks ago, and here we are. We don't have to deal with Liam because we got Lester Cotton.
Lester, that boy, Lester.
Big Lest.
All right, so this game was super early. For me, 6:30. For you, 9:30. How did it feel watching the old 9:30 game? I get that over here every weekend.
Yeah, it honestly, bro, it was one of the first weekends where I had a Sunday off as well. And the Saturday before, I had 3 gigs. I was basically DJing all day. So, like, my body still woke up at 8 o'clock this time, with the time change and all that. So I was just so kind of excited, and it almost felt like playoff time. Like, the weather was kind of cool out, and I'm like, dang, I'm about to make a fat breakfast. I'm about to, like, get my first Sunday red zone, like, really in on the couch. Like, I'm in it. I'm hype. And it was cool for us to go first, because once I got into red zone, I fell asleep, like, second, third quarter of the games and just kind of woke up during the 4:30 games. I was like, yeah, I missed this.
I remember doing that, but when you start gambling, you know, it's just not possible to sleep. You got to watch. You got to see it through. I got all 4 games on at once.
Yeah, that's the
I got
noise.
My fantasy pulled up. I'm just hitting refresh over and over.
Something's got to happen. Besides, red zone's late, you know. They're missing something.
Yeah, but 6:30 is definitely too early, especially for a loss. That was awful. But I do like and appreciate being able to wake up at 10 a.m. pretty much, or 9:30, have breakfast and watch the game. And then it would be cool if they did it, I guess. I mean, they have been, honestly. There's been like an international game every week for you guys to watch at 9:30, but it's so involved in like the drinking and the bar culture on the west side over here that, you know, all the bars are open at 8:30, 9 on Sundays because they know people are going to go in there and day drink. Yeah. So, like, going and drinking and watching football over here is like a full day affair, you know.
What's the spot that you took us to outside of the Staples Center that was
Tom's Watch Bar downtown Los Angeles?
Yeah, that was cool to see because that's exactly what the vibe was. And since we had the quote unquote afternoon game, late game,
yeah,
it was, yeah, it was morning and it's after like it.
I don't want to, if you watch football, the worst thing is waiting for the game to come on. And I remember it was only like that for me forever. And then at first I hated having to wake up over here, you know, in the morning, but now I'm so used to it that whenever I go back over there, I'm like, man, the anxiety of having to wait all day for the game to come on sucks. And then yeah, the night game, boy, I'm asleep. There's no way I'm making it through the night game. Ain't no chance. Cause that's going to like midnight over there.
It's a marathon, bro.
Nah, it's done at like 9:30 over here.
Yeah. Well, this is the street, son. This is what we do out here. It's the East Side.
But, yeah, so waking up super early to get your blood pressure going, the first half of that game, let's start with that. How are you feeling?
Let's
relive it.
Let's take it down even smaller than that. Let's talk about just that opening drive from Patrick. Like, is there a higher form than that? That was like Super Saiyan 4 Patrick just driving right down the field, hitting his dots, hitting his spots. No stress at all.
Yeah. That's that scripted play. How many years in the system together, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, not just in the system together, but excelling and being the best at what they do together. That first scripted drive by the Chiefs, they're going down. They're, you know, that's the one.
Yeah. And then how did we follow up?
Exactly. I was about to say, Vic Fangio adjusts based on what he sees you're trying to do immediately. And it was just little by little, a snowball effect where the longer the game went on, the stronger the defensive side of our game got. I wish it was the same for the offense, but that's just not the case. But
well,
we did hold Patrick Mahomes and his offense to 14 points. Two touchdowns.
Can you really get mad at the offense when our little penguin gets hurt on the second play from scrimmage, I believe it was?
I can, because you know who's been in this offensive system longer than Tyreek Hill has?
River Craycraft.
On our team. Well, that's one person, but also Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's just like, I don't care. It's the types of things that you're being asked to do have been the same things that you've been seeing Waddle do. I mean, I know that I'm frustrated because I expect that everyone should already, the plan B shouldn't be so disastrous. You know what I mean? Like, it's bound to happen in every position. And that's what makes a good team, is their plan B is solid. You know, that one hole in the ship doesn't sink the boat. You know, you can plug it and keep on sailing.
Right.
And when the drop off between Jalen Waddle, when he got hurt, to seeing Cedric Wilson out there, you know, you could see it. It was, and he did come up big too, because he was getting a lot put on his plate. Like, there were a couple big Cedric Wilson moments, but there also was just, you could just see the drop off, and you know, you could see that Tua was struggling with trying to find him based on where Waddle would have been versus where Cedric is, and it's just not the same.
Do you believe that part of that might be, since he's a different, I guess, frame, that he's a different play style? Maybe they ask him to do something different than they asked Jalen and Tyreek to do?
I think it's just Cedric Wilson's strengths aren't exactly the same as Waddle and Tyreek's, and I just don't think he's as used to getting the ball that many times. So when we were watching the film, one that stood out was, it's that RPO, well, you know, Miami's version of the RPO, where it's like, Tyreek Hill goes in motion, or whoever it is that goes in motion, and they ultimately end up running this very, very wide wheel route, and they look back for the ball right as they pass the line of scrimmage and then continue to run the wheel route. Then whether it's a tight end or a fullback comes out and sinks into the flat, kind of going towards the wheel route, so that if he needs to block, then he's also there, or he can turn for the ball himself if the route goes further than him. And then the third option is either like this little slant, or like it might turn into like the seam route or something, but it's, you know, usually Jalen Waddle, and it's Cedric Wilson this time, and he just doesn't get to his spot as quick as Waddle. And then he also, like, when he stops to look back for the ball, his feet stop.
Right.
It's almost like he, you know, is running like a hook or a curl where his feet stop and he looks back, but you can tell that that's not what's supposed to be happening. He's supposed to be looking for the ball while he moves in the direction that he's showing the quarterback. And, you know, little subtleties like that make a difference. And Tua being able to predict where you're going to be when he's throwing the ball 4 seconds ahead of, you know, you being there.
So if you had to put a scale on 1 to 10, 10 being like, you know, best movie I've seen all year, where do you put Cedric Wilson's performance? I didn't think it was that bad. I know that RPO one was a bad look, but
it wasn't that bad. I mean, there were a couple mistakes that came from him having to see that much time and not be, and like I said, that's not usually the role that he's playing either. He plays a solid number three role,
right?
But he doesn't back up the number two role. Craycraft, I believe, does, right?
Supposed to.
So you got that. And then I think you had Robbie or Chosen Anderson backing up the number one role. And then I'm sure that Jalen Waddle, there's some kind of stuff that if Tyreek went out, you'd see him start doing. But, you know, I just, they were forced to use Cedric Wilson a lot in the number two role.
For some reason on the Dolphins depth chart, the first string receivers are Tyreek and Waddle. Second string, Brax and Robbie Chosen behind them. And then third would be Cedric Wilson, Claypool. So, I mean, I can...
Well, there you go. I don't think that's how it was at the beginning of the year, was it?
I don't think that's how it is now. But based off of the snaps, I mean, let me check in before I put my foot in my mouth. Cedric Wilson played 41. Brax played 17. So, I mean...
Maybe it was the physicality that Kansas City was bringing, and they thought that was the better personnel choice. I'm not sure.
Matchup look.
But yeah. Either way, it was costly.
Yeah, either way. Overall, then, his game, though, I don't think he graded out too bad. PFF graded him kind of whatever, but...
Same way Tyreek Hill probably graded out okay.
Yeah.
You know? But
one catch, 31 yards and a touchdown, and we saw the blocks. We also saw that he had four targets that he didn't catch, two of which maybe weren't on him, but he still could have made a play on them.
So if you were to be, typical fan like people tend to be, the most casual of all casual fans will just ultimately blame flat out the quarterback, regardless of what they think happened. Those big, he sucks or he's great, just based off if the game goes well or not. Well, who would you say, if you just had to put all your anger onto one person for this game, on the Miami Dolphins, who would it be that you put the biggest chunk of the L on?
Does it have to be a player, or can I put it on something else?
Coach, player, I don't know, positional coach. I just want to hear a name. I want to hear some hate out of your heart.
If we're gonna hold somebody accountable, I gotta hold Coach McDaniel accountable a little bit. I'm not gonna yell at Tyreek like y'all. I understand where it's coming from. I understand everybody yelling at Tua for the end of the game antics, but I think there was a lot of just little instances, like continuing to try to run that Tyreek Hill screen thing, even though I do believe, just like you believe and most of us believe, that was an incomplete pass. We ran that two or three other times and it was very ineffective. So I understand trying to like free Tyreek up and just get the ball in his hands, but I don't think that was the way to try to do it. I think they were too dialed in for any of that short yardage nonsense to kind of work on them. If we were going to do anything, it was going to be pushing it downfield, which we tried. They dropped it a couple times, but we came off of it too soon. I also don't like how Jeff Wilson didn't get, I'm just going to say he didn't get enough carries. I mean, two, that's not enough. He had a couple of catches too, but I was expecting more usage out of him the game before. Obviously, McDaniel knows more than me, but hey, man, simple things. He's better than Savon. Give him the ball. He's better. And don't get cute with the play calling. But as soon as it got sticky, we got cute with the play calling. Every time he realizes he's getting cute, he starts to take it serious, and then we drive right down the field. So, I mean, I just wish he could just keep it together on these tough road games and just not get cute and not try to think too far outside the box. He just hits the pen too hard, I think. I don't know. But he'd be the one I'd point to, because he's the one that I
can't
up
disagree.
The most
he's got plenty of blame, especially if I had to pick at him specifically, I would say, personnel, be more conscious of your personnel choices during the game, like be able to make changes during the game based on the feel, get a little bit of better feel for it, just because I would have let Savon go out there and rock. He earned it, and he's good things happen every time he touches the ball. We've been saying that. But obviously not this game, and we could tell. You could tell every time it was a little, lackluster. Like it just wasn't working. And you have two other people that you have opportunity to give the ball. Give Jeff Wilson some more touches. He's back. What did you activate him off IR for? Like he proved it last year that he could do it. I would have loved to see him get a couple more chances from behind the line of scrimmage. But my biggest gripe. If it was someone who had to blame it on, I'm definitely giving it to Tyreek. He's like pissing me off.
You guys, I love him, you guys had that queued like, up from the preview episode, and
because he already did it in the Eagles game. So like,
yeah,
all this like it was a, you know, it was more like the "I'll be better" tweet is like means something to you if he messed up one game and it was bad, and then you know he's gonna go work on it. It's like, bro, I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing "I will be better." You dropped a walk-in touchdown versus the Eagles, and now you just. Your fumble or strip sack or whatever you want to call a strip screen pass is the difference in this game being a tie or not, you know? And it's just, man, that's and there's another pass that hit him right in the hands. Jaylen Waddle had a pass that hit him in the hands. Just unfortunate. It was just kind of like when it rains, it pours. All the mistakes kept piling up. If Tua made a mistake, it was impossible to be bailed out by anybody. If Tua dropped a dime, Tyreek made a mistake. If Tua dropped a dime, Jaylen Waddle made a mistake. You know, if we had a run that went for a long, you know, chances are the lineman made a mistake. Chase Claypool looked like absolute trash out there. But yeah, I'll give it to Tyreek. McDaniel, a large load of it. Tua, a good load of it. Terron Armstead's probably his worst game I've ever seen him play as a Dolphin. Healthy, especially.
All right. Well, to be positive, since I'm the positive one, if you had to give a commemorative game ball, because, you know, no game balls when you lose, but a commemorative one, who would you give it to?
I think I'd give every single one to, I'd get many balls and give everyone on defense one. But if I had to choose offense, it's going to Raheem Mostert, maybe Lester Cotton.
Did you say many balls or mini balls?
Many balls.
Many, many balls.
Many, 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 many. But,
so
yeah, man,
it's between Raheem
Mostert is a dog. Dog. I that was my biggest gripe with McDaniel's play calling, to be honest, is everything, like you said, he gets serious and then we have the game in reach, but like that last series was head scratching. Even without the Tua mistakes, it's like, why did we just run two times for half the field and then you decided now we're just gonna pass on first and second and third down?
Yeah,
at the end there was like a whole minute left on the clock. You were creeping into the red zone, and the Chiefs defense has not given you a single reason to believe they could stop Raheem Mostert. He's going like that 49ers Green Bay Packers playoff game Raheem Mostert, that Buffalo Bills Miami Dolphins, we got Skylar Thompson back there Raheem Mostert. Yep. Like, it's a big moment, a big game, and Raheem is throwing people into the dirt and putting the team on his back and showing you that it was evident. I didn't even feel good about the drive. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, sure, we get a shot to tie it here, but what about this game has really made you feel like that's what's going to happen, you know? And then I see him charting to chug along, and I got hope again. I'm like, well, if anybody's going to do it, it's this guy right here. And then McDaniel just goes, yeah, but we're going to pass it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Crazy.
With some weird personnel again. But, you know, that's him getting cute when he should have been trying to be a little bit more serious. And I think the play call with the bad snap was a serious play call, and it was the right call because a man was open. And I think Tua was just so excited to get the throw off that might have maybe taken his eyes off the ball a little bit. But
I think it was too much pressure. I think he was going to be sacked either way on that play. Two people got through the line of scrimmage. Lester Cotton, I believe it was Lester Cotton, completely whiffed.
Why you
got
to do that?
At the end. I mean, it was like one of his only bad plays, but it completely just let a guy go in unblocked. So it looked like he was going to get smoked either way. There's a couple things that were weird. Like, I don't want to like absolve Tua of the blame.
I think that is one. We talk about Tua just kind of floating some and just lobbing some. That's one where he can just kind of lob it right to the goal line. Just float it up, put it up, take the pressure, take the hit. You're good at avoiding the hits, but you might have to eat this one to score and take it to OT.
You also shouldn't have to guess where your snap is going to be 100% of the time. Like, I know I see all the time, we both see bad snaps that Tua's jumping off the ground to go catch, and then he makes a great play out of it. So I get it. And, you know, you are supposed to do that. Patrick Mahomes did it a couple of times this same exact game. I see Burrow do it all the time, but.
Not an excuse. Just point it out.
It's worth noting that, you know, amongst the other things he has to do, now he has to worry about where this 50-mile-an-hour snap is going to be, because it's literally all over the place, just erratic, and I don't know. The other one that everyone's talking about on the internet looks to me like there was obviously a miscommunication, and that Tua just kind of tried to be like, oh, no, like, you know, like a confusing, like, it changes what you wanted to do with your arm halfway through the motion of throwing the ball. Looked like it was like a back shoulder throw. That last minute he saw should have been a streak, and just, you know, sad.
Sad.
It's a very painful way to lose the game, I would say.
It's annoying because in Cedric Wilson's defense, you know, he was open. And if Tua had time to make, I guess, that assumption that he was going deep with the double move, he maybe could have hit him. But no, man. Like, whatever the option was, you made the wrong one. But
it's third down. The game is on the line. There's probably, I think at this point, like a minute left on the clock, maybe 45 seconds, minute and 20, anything in between there. Wasn't a lot. It was around the 1 minute mark left on the clock, maybe less. And you see, they're showing a 5-man blitz, which ultimately turns into a 6-man blitz. In what world, with the game on the line on third down, you just need the first down, would you ever, while there's a 5, which ultimately turns into a 6-man blitz, would you ever think that the route that you're being signaled to run is a double move, that probably the longest developing route in your route tree? That's, to me, I don't get it. And everyone's like, well, it was a touchdown, the game was tied. I don't even want Patrick Mahomes to have 36 seconds.
Nope.
It looked like they were going for the sticks, and it looked like the ball was going pretty comfortably a yard, 2 yards, 3 yards even beyond the first down marker. Like, it was just live another series. Boom. You know what I mean? Like, it was towards the out of bounds too. You catch that right there and you get a whole new set of downs, and that's probably a touchdown. Obviously. Yeah.
So many hypotheticals.
Could have been a touchdown either way, but.
It's fine though. I think we'll see them again. I would rather not. I think if I had to pick, I'd rather play Lamar and Baltimore in the playoffs after we play them once. But, if we do have to see them again, I think we're ready for it. I think if McDaniel can just chill and not try to get too sweet with everything, we'd be able to make a play on them. But that stat line that you talked about with Andy Reid, his second time playing against the defense and Fangio and stuff, I mean, that
he always does better the second time playing the defense.
Yeah.
And then because Fangio was on the Broncos, the head coach of the Broncos, you're able to look that up as well and see that he did better the second time they met. You know, I'm sure McDaniel does better the second time he met. We look at how McDaniel did, you know, does getting better against Buffalo or New England and stuff like that. But still, mm-hmm. It's just not a team you want to see. And, you know, it's worth mentioning that game in Germany was pretty close to Arrowhead, man. It was violent. Like, there were a lot of fans and it was very loud, and they were all Chiefs fans pretty much.
Oh yeah.
So
when they hit Country Road, I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah. It was towards the end of the game too, man. They were just wrap it up.
Yeah. Finish them off.
But I do want to point out that preseason we chose our scores and who we thought was going to win, and though you did choose Kansas City to win this one and you were right, I had this one going into OT, buddy, and damn you if it wasn't close. Wasn't close, man. Oh man. And I had Miami winning in overtime, and I swear we make that touchdown, we do win in overtime, man.
I completely
you
agree.
Can't tell me otherwise. We might have gone for two. We might have just said right here, right now.
If it would have went to overtime, I think Mr. Ware and yourself would have been relieved of stress, and Tyreek would have gotten his touchdown if it got to overtime. I think that's when he really would have turned it on and gotten something going, but he never got to have that big of a moment. So instead, left with what we got.
The boy was running his damn mouth, boy.
He was chirping. but
he asked for it and he got exactly what he wanted, and he got his money took from him right there on the field in front of everybody.
Humbling. So,
yeah, hopefully he comes back. Wait, quote, I'll be better. Come back better, Tyreek, please.
Yeah, it'd be a quake quoting. We're out here cray crafting, and the big homie will be back soon. If he won't keep slacking, I know River will bust his behind out there.
What did I say earlier? Oh, we kept Pacheco in Pacheco.
He kept Isaiah in Pacheco.
Yeah, we kept the defense kept him in Pacheco. Boy, he wasn't doing nothing. I love him. Me and Zach gave him a lot of props.
Yep. He's the man. He's a Musgrave product. He comes out of the same system as myself, Kyle Kinch, Valdez, David Velasquez. We all just work out with the same programs from a dude. Shout out to Brandon Musgrave, 772 in the building. He's on the strength and conditioning staff at Texas Tech now, but he was on the Rutgers staff when Pacheco was there and like used to tell me about him back then. So since he was his trainer then, he's basically all of our trainers now with his workouts that he draws up for me. We're all from the same system. So I'm a big Pacheco guy. He was getting his face smashed in by David Long on a few blitzes, but I don't put all that on him. David Long is a very aggressive animal. He's trying to hit you hard in the same manner that Isaiah is trying to hit you hard. So that was kind of cool to see, like the Rams going head to head against each other. But yeah, dude, I think one of the bright spots that I'd also bring up, Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey, Deshaun Elliott, Xavier Howard played all 60 snaps. Who do you think the one other player is that played all 60 was?
I don't know.
One guess.
I would say, oof, I don't want to be wrong. Travis Kelce?
Was the most plays on our defense?
Oh, I thought you said on their offense. Sorry, on our defense is gonna be, that'd be easy, bro. That's gonna be Javon Holland, right?
Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey, Deshaun Elliott, and X played all 60. But there's one more.
Damn, they really all played all 60.
Start and secondary. Yep.
Is that the healthiest? Is that the most amazing indicator of health that you've ever heard?
Beautiful. It's art.
Man,
a few guys were guys were a few snaps like away.
David Long,
no, neck roll Jerome.
Wow,
all 60.
Man,
Wilkins with 57.
And we looked at it.
Sealer 56.
We looked at that touchdown where they ran those crossing routes on us to see who was actually the one making the mistake. And we had decided when we thought it, or I thought it was Jerome, that it was actually David Long. Even then. Even when I doubted him, he was in the right.
Dude, I was trying to tell you, it really seems like he was trying to pass it off. I don't think he would just go across like that, I mean, unless it was man. But yeah,
they did look better though. That defense is really, like, I mean, I've been saying it for weeks now that little by little they look like they're getting better. They're getting better. It's just not like the most, like, pedal to the floor, the pass rush is hitting, the coverage, you know, mm-hmm. The infinity stones have all been collected in the back, you know, the secondary's popping, and it's just, we're firing on all cylinders. Vic Fangio's confident in the personnel finally. You know, the only touchdown that really looked messy was the one we just talked about, where it was, you know, a miscommunication between the two linebackers. That's it. It's anytime they miscommunicate, something bad might happen. And that happened so few times that, you know, we held the Chiefs to 38 passing yards in the second half of the game.
It's incredible. With guys rotating in, with us subbing out pass rushers and giving all kinds of different looks and just person, aside from all the coverages everyone talks about, we just throw such crazy personnel at people and send blitzes all over the place. We were talking about all the different stunts that we were seeing, where we would have three people just washing left and then someone like Sealer or Wilkins just peels off to the right, like a basketball player type move. Like,
and that's what killed us when we played against the Broncos
and the Bills all the time.
That Tua game, but specifically the game where Tua got benched by Flores against the Broncos. Mm-hmm. That's what they were eating us alive with.
That game was so ugly. I think I've erased it from my memory banks.
I just remember thinking to myself, like, how genuinely beaten we had been and how, like, Vic Fangio had just absolutely embarrassed that defense or that offensive line. And with the stunts and all these, like, there was, like, these 1970s scheme that he was, like, trying to bring back. And just, I read about it, and I was just like, man, how embarrassing. And then he's our coach now, thank God.
Awesome to have him. Because after the bye week, you want to read off the games that we have after that?
I was looking at it. It does look pretty enticing. But the thing is I keep seeing everybody do this, and they're like, look at how easy our schedule is afterwards. And they're basing it because we haven't lost to any bad teams either. We're the only team, I believe, in the league that hasn't lost to a team under 500.
The Chargers are also at 500, so.
Yeah, for whatever. They're not even a real franchise. We don't care about them.
I'm just saying.
I know that our first game is going to be the Raiders, and most of them are home games, man. So we're going to play the Raiders.
That's what I like.
Then we're going to play the Jets on Black Friday. That's going to be our most hostile away game left on the roster, or on the schedule, I mean, I think. Raiders just fired their coach and their GM. The Jets are obviously screwed until they get Aaron Rodgers back, which probably does happen late in the year. Then we play the Commanders, who just got rid of both their good pass rushers. Then we play
Commanders,
Titans. They are interesting. But even still, like, none of these teams deserve to be just looked over. That's because, and that's because we understand. You know, we're not that kind of fan.
No.
And
we could confuse Will Levis, and Fangio could tear him up, or Derrick Henry could go ham on us and Will Levis can do just enough and they don't ask him to do too much. And that's a tough one on Monday night, you know, like we're not just going to be like, oh, yeah, we're steamrolling everybody. Everybody we play is real like, and they want to beat us.
And that's why I have take such a big problem with this. Oh, they can't beat good teams. We played a divisional rival on the road and both teams that were in the Super Bowl on the road. I don't know. Like, those are the three most losable games by a good team ever. Like, to me, it's just not as big of a deal as everybody wants it to be. I think that it's something worth talking about, beating every team, every other team, you know, consistently. Like, if you can expect to beat the bad teams, that's how you know you got a pretty decent contender of a team. So we'll see what happens. It's worth noting that the greatest show on turf did the same thing. They lost to a couple bad teams, or they lost to the good teams and they beat all the bad teams. And then they went and they beat the good teams and won the Super Bowl. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
But after the Titans, Jets, then Cowboys, Christmas Eve game, then Ravens, then Bills.
Yeah, that's an end of the season stretch, bub. We might have, I don't care if we have Aaron Rodgers or not, they're 4-4 without him. They're always going to come at us. So us having them twice late is sneaky. I think that
it's funny. They're a bigger threat right now than the Buffalo Bills are to us.
They really are. And they can cause way more headaches than that Bills game straight up at home to close the season, you know? Like, that
Bills look terrible right now too.
Hopefully that Bills game gets flexed to Football Night in America, because that'd be extra clutch for us. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think if we squeeze out a couple of these, they're going to be tough. And then we also put a couple of just haymakers on some teams. Even if, you know, we do that to the Jets once and then the other time, it's a close game. But if we could just roll through the Titans, roll through the Manders, or roll through the Cowboys, like, just give one of those teams that 38-point, 40-point business like we can do.
Hey, you got to put some respect on them boys, man. Cowboys.
Hey, I'm just saying.
They're all right.
I know that. That's why we need to do something like that and let people know, hey, we don't just do it to quote-unquote bad teams. That bad Broncos team that you guys talk about beat the Chiefs. The bad – all these teams that you guys call bad beat good teams. good teams beat bad teams beat good teams. It's the NFL. Everyone's good. Shut up.
Like, so let me ask you this. We got 8 games left.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want that record to be through 8? Like, what do you expect? What do you expect the floor needs to be, the minimum, and what do you really think it'll be?
We cannot lose 3 more.
Oof.
We can't.
Three games out of eight.
I think we probably do, but I could also see us just running the table straight through.
I could see us dropping the Baltimore one. I said that from the beginning.
I mean, they got that guy at quarterback, man. He's tough.
Yeah, he looks great, and it's in Baltimore again.
Oh, so, yeah, we're playing at the bank.
You know, it was a huge ordeal to go there last year and do what we did in an away game. Those are, like, big deals, man. I just think we're right on track, man. You don't got to be... I'd rather be overlooked and be called a fraud at this point in the season, to be honest with you. Don't think they're going to let Tua win MVP regardless. His odds dropped crazy. Patrick Mahomes is up there. Patrick Mahomes throws for 38 yards in the second half of the game.
Yep.
You know, like, his odds are the same. Jalen Hurts' odds are the same. Like,
Lamar threw no touchdowns last week. His odds went up.
Yeah, exactly. He's got, like, he's on pace to throw for 17 touchdowns this year. Bless Lamar. He's an amazing talent, but I'm just, you know, it's worth pointing out. It's just a difference.
He's him. Don't be talking MVP about odds. All the numbers and stuff, bro. He's him.
Yeah, well, Tua's MVP odds, they just plummeted. They just plummeted after one game. It wasn't even like terrible of a game. It's just being replayed everywhere at the gym, in the sauna, when I was out to eat earlier. Laundry everywhere. Yeah. It just doesn't matter what I'm doing or what I'm talking about. Boom, it just pops up and haunts me.
It's all gravy. What do you think we finish out in the 8 games? And what do you think we need?
I say, so what do we got? 6 right now. I think you can go 4-4 is the bare minimum.
Oh, that's...
Puts you at, you know, 10 wins. You could probably get in the wild card and you have some good tiebreakers against the Chargers. And potentially tiebreakers coming up. But this is really about keeping the Bills out of the playoffs too. You know, there's a lot involved here. But I think you beat the Raiders. You beat the Titans. You should beat the Commanders. And then you take one from the Jets, and that's already 4.
Yeah.
So that means you got another game against the Jets, and then you got Baltimore, Cowboys, Buffalo. You just need to win 1, and there's your 5.
If you split with the Jets, you have to beat Buffalo the second time.
Yes. In Miami. So win all your divisional games in Miami plus 1. We already got the 1 in New England, and you're good. But really, I just want to look forward to this bye week, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy having the week off.
Same here. I don't want to feel... I'm just going to gamble all day.
There you go.
On other teams that I don't care about.
Just enjoy yourself like a good old-fashioned American.
Yeah, like the good old days when Miami was not a contender, so I didn't ever get my hopes up.
Hey, man, but we're here. So let's squeeze out a couple more dubs. Let's get this playoff game in. Let's get busy.
I agree. Anything else you want to say on these closing words here?
I'm pretty good. I'm really happy with how our D-line's showing up. I think they shut us up pretty quickly on the Nick Chubb hate train. Jalen Phillips has also shown up.
Bradley Chubb. See, luckily, you hear that?
You see that?
I was here to stop it this time.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't let me rip by myself. I just sit here and say weird things like whatever I said on the intro earlier. Well deserved or something, but whatever. But yeah, Bradley Chubb and the rest of the pass rushers are actually getting home. It's not just pressures anymore. It's actually generating sacks, generating tackles for loss. It's Christian Wilkins making plays one-on-one. It's Sealer making plays. It's all of them. So I'm really happy with how that's coming along. I think with how tough of a loss that was, I think we did see that we have a championship-level defense being able to hold the best quarterback in the league, arguably the best quarterback ever, to under 40 yards in a second half in a game that he was trying to pass for more than 40 yards. So,
absolutely.
I'm excited.
Be fair, they might have a bad offense. It might be a pretty... Their defense is so good, though. But I agree with you.
It looked pretty good on that first drive.
Yeah, scripted ones. Adam Gase used to score in scripted drives, true. So we overlook those. It's about how you adapt.
Yeah.
It's about what happens after that.
Talk about Gase.
But
jeez, that one hurt.
I mean, he was a scripted drive king, boy. You knew you were getting it in on that first one. Everything after that, nah, no chance.
Don't even think about going to third down because it's a wrap.
No, sir. I can tell you what play it's going to be. Third down screenplay. Yep. Let's do this.
Yep, make it happen.
Howard Wilson on a screenplay.
Chicken Grant.
Let's run it.
We've come.
I want to make a collage of all the players that were slandered heavily on the timeline. This week it will be Savon Ahmed, so I assume he'll come back later in the season and make a huge play. But Xavien Howard at one point, Jerome Baker at one point, Bradley Chubb for weeks, Vic Fangio even. When are we going to have a talk about Vic Fangio tweets? I mean,
yeah,
give me a break, man. This is why you listen to Day One Dolphins, not run by a complete group of morons, just degenerates.
Yeah, we're not.
So please,
we're not paid suits. Even though sometimes I am paid and I am in a suit, I'm not the feds.
And you can follow him and check him out in a suit in his profile picture at Chief Sut. You can follow me and check out me as a 9-year-old child and Zach Thomas shares the at YFinsYY. Follow the podcast Twitter at Day One Dolphins. We will be back in a week and a half to preview the Las Vegas Raiders game. Should be a fun one. Until then, fins up.
Does that count as a face reveal?
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.